Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for episode number 180 of Amy's Kids Show. And we are celebrating again today, celebrating those amazing people who came before us on this planet, those ones who helped lead the way towards freedom and unity, our two favorite themes here on Amy's Kids Show. The world is just abundant with all sorts of amazing role models, and we have been pausing here on Amy's Kids Show for four episodes now to celebrate one particular person, Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president of the United States. And we are now spending episode number 4 continuing to celebrate Abe Lincoln, because today we are going to finish the book that I have been reading. And it's called Abraham Lincoln, and it's by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin de Allaire. And they wrote this amazing book about 100 years ago about Abraham Lincoln. And so we've been learning about him, and wow, we started out admiring just how smart he was, how much he liked to think, right? Abe Lincoln is thinking. He was born thinking, and he couldn't read enough books, could he? He would walk miles to get the books that he needed to read. He didn't let anything stand in his way. But he wasn't just smart, though. He also was our tallest president, right? He was so tall and big and strong that he could split 1,000 rails just to get a pair of jeans. Yeah, he did not shy away from hard work, that Abe Lincoln. So he was smart, he was big and strong. But what are we going to celebrate today about Abe Lincoln? Well, we have not run out of things to celebrate. In fact, today's show, we are going to be celebrating his hats and his humor. Hats and humor. And those two things kind of can go together, right? Especially last week when we learned about Abe Lincoln's tall hat that he used to keep all his papers in and everything, and how the boys in town played a prank on him. They put a string across the road so that only him, being tall enough with his tall hat on top, to have that string knock off his hat and send his papers flying. Well, did he get mad? No, he laughed. Guys, he laughed. I think Abraham Lincoln's sense of humor may have been his most important trait. We're going to learn more about that today as we conclude the story. Thank you for joining me. So here's a shout out to Abe, the funniest hat song I could think of. It also celebrates freedom. Nobody knows more about that than babies, do they? We're born knowing about freedom, guys.
You need a hat on your head, like a pencil needs lead, like a cat needs to shed, like a mat needs to spread. You need a hat on your head, just like toast needs bread, like a rat needs to shred. You need a hat on your head, and you need shoes on your feet, just like sugar needs sweet, like a butcher needs meat, just like hot needs heat. You need shoes on your feet, like a bed needs a sheet, like a blues needs a beat. You need some shoes on your feet. But the baby said,
no, I don't.
You need a shirt on your back, like a duck needs a quack, like a train needs a track, like a butt needs a crack. You need a shirt on your back, like a pig needs a, like a jerk needs a smack. You need a shirt on your back, and you need hands on your bum, just like a hand needs a thumb, like a band needs a drum, just like a man needs a chum. You need pants on your bum, just like hoe needs hum, like the ants need a crumb. You need some pants on your bum. But the baby said,
no,
you least need a diaper to wear. Like a shoe needs a pair. Like a flat needs a spare. Just like a stud needs a mare. You need a diaper to wear. Just like one needs to share. Like a coach needs to swear. You need a diaper to wear. Let's go.
From the time he was a little boy, Abe was a hard worker. He helped on his parents' farm, planting corn and pumpkins. Abe and his sister Sarah went to school in a one-room schoolhouse. They walked for miles to get there and back, even in snow. Abe studied hard. He learned to read and write. Abe loved to learn, and he read every book he could find. When Abe was 7, his family moved to the settlement of Little Pigeon Creek, Indiana. Abe learned to use an axe. He helped his father clear the forest for a farm and a cabin. There was no longer time for school. Since Abe always had to work to help his family survive, his total schooling added up to less than 1 year. By the time Abe had finished growing, he was very tall, 6 feet, 4 inches. That's 1 meter 93. Abe knew he didn't want to be a farmer like his father. But what could he do? He decided to leave home to find out. Abe got a job on a flatboat. He was such a good worker that the boat's owner offered him a job in his store in New Salem, Illinois. The people of New Salem quickly grew to love and trust Abe. Abe was so honest that once, when he charged someone too much money, he ran outside to give the money back. Throughout his life, he had the nickname Honest Abe. People started to go into the store just to ask Abe's advice. Sometimes they asked him about the laws or rules of the town. Abe wanted to study more, so he studied law all by himself and became a lawyer. Abe moved to Springfield, Illinois, to work with a lawyer friend. One of Abe's jobs was to keep track of the lawyer's papers. He kept some of the papers inside his tall hat. When Abe was 28, he met Mary Todd. Mary and Abe were different in many ways. Abe was tall and thin. Mary was short and plump. Abe came from a poor family. Mary came from a rich family. Although Abe was shy, the two fell in love. They married and had 4 children together. At that time, white people were allowed in some states to own black slaves. The slaves were forced to work hard and they did not get paid. They were not treated well. The slaves did not have any rights. Abe spoke out against slavery. He became very famous. Some people asked Abe to run for president of the United States. Abe said yes. Soon it was time for the people to vote. The votes were counted. And surprise, Abe won. The Lincoln family moved from Illinois to the White House in Washington, D.C. Abe greeted happy crowds on his whistle-stop train trip to Washington. Everyone in the country loved the Lincoln boys. They were sent a lot of presents, including a pony and 2 goats. The goats got loose once inside the White House and made a mess during a fancy party. But trouble was brewing. The people who lived in the states that allowed slavery did not like Abe. They said he was not their president. 11 states broke away from the United States. They did not want to be part of a country that was against slavery. The United States was no longer united. Now, the country was at war. The Civil War. More than anything, Abe wanted to end slavery. "All men are created equal," he declared. Finally, he was able to help pass a law to free the slaves. Abe went to the battlefields and gave speeches to ask people to stop fighting. It took years for the Civil War to end. Abe was constantly interrupted while he worked, and not just by his sons. Each day, people stood in long lines waiting to speak with the president. They asked him for money and for help finding jobs. When the war was finally over, crowds of joyful people went to the White House to cheer for their president. Abe was proud that there was no more slavery. Now, he had to bring the country back together. Sadly, Abe died before the United States was fully united in peace.
Civil War time, Civil War rhyme. Yeah, yeah, listen up. Yo. Listen up now as I tell you a tale. Listen up closely or you just might fail. This information for which I have a store will teach you all you need to know about the Civil War. It started when Congress began to disagree which state should have slaves and which should be free. We opened up territory to the West. Some said the spread of slavery would be better. The North ran slavery with a twist in their arms, but the South still needed them to work on the farms. The abolitionists would not be down. If you don't believe me, ask John Brown. He fought against slavery, tried to raise him from the rubble. He failed, got caught, and was hanged for his trouble. He didn't succeed at Harper's Ferry. They were all given hope with the body that they buried. Southern Democrats thought they were nifty. Then came the election of 1860. Along came Abe, honest to his core. Douglas got votes, but Lincoln got more. Now with the fear of just what he might do, South Carolina said, "That's it, we're through. We're out of here. We are going to secede. Slavery and states' rights is really all we need." To the North, this was a hard pill to swallow. Once they left, six more states followed. That's when Lincoln knew this was real. He could not make a deal and their fates were sealed. Fort Sumter, troops are hungry, dying of thirst. Lincoln had to get the South to shoot first. He broke the blockade to make a supply run. And that's when the rebels fired the guns. It's official. The Civil War is on, and any chance of avoiding a war is now gone. Yeah, Civil War time, Civil War rhyme. Can you write one that's as good as mine? I hope you hear every word that I say. I'm not Eminem, I'm the Milky Way. I'll take you on a journey, a rhyme-filled ride. Gonna tell you how it was from the Union side. The idea of war to the North seemed kinda funny. They had all the factories and all the money. Why fight the Union and break up the nation? The Yankees had the railroads and the higher population. The Union had the troops to make a stand. A strategy they called the Anaconda Plan. A blockade, control the ports and coasts. But the Mississippi River's what they wanted the most. Nobody thought the war would last long, but they were wrong. They couldn't get along, and now they all face their greatest fears. What they thought would last months would now last years. Fight with the Union? What were you thinking? You got Jeff Davis, but we got Abe Lincoln. Civil War time, Civil War rhyme. Thank you. The next poetic words from my mouth will tell you how things were seen in the South. You all think that slavery's a sin. Because we have less soldiers, there's no way that we can win. But we assure you we have the skills to manage. We have experience and home field advantage. All we had to do was defend our land. Each and every man willing to take a stand. You think our army's small, tiny like a smurf. You have to come and fight us and do it on our turf. So here we go, we battle day and night. Get ready, Yankees. We will not give up the fight. We have all the confidence, it's easy to see. And we're led by the best, General Robert E. Lee. Yeah, Civil War time, Civil War rhyme. So now the fighting begins, and they soon realize that in war nobody wins. The devastation at Antietam was no mystery. It was the bloodiest day in U.S. history. McClellan won victory on this horrible day, but he allowed Lee and his men to get away. Lincoln was mad, that's all he could take. The war could have ended without this mistake. Now Abe needed something to secure the nation, so he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. The order freed slaves, they took flight, came to the North so they could help fight. 200,000, someone just had to lead them, side by side, fighting for their own freedom. Cheering became the usual sound. North started to win and gain more ground. It now seemed that the end was in sight as they prepared for one crucial fight. This major battle will go down in lore as a turning point of the Civil War. It's Gettysburg, where thousands died, with many casualties on both sides. The Army of the South went down in defeat, forced Lee and his men to sound the retreat. It was over, ending all the days of violence. All that was left was a strange eerie silence. Lincoln arrived, the death to assess, and that's when he delivered his famous address. He gave us the words we all remember and know. They went, 47 years ago. Nothing could truly describe the scene, nor did they know how much these words would mean. Since Meade didn't move, stood still like a plant, a new man was put in charge, Ulysses S. Grant. A strong leader who knew how to win, he started winning battles again and again. Now what was next? Would the war really end? Is the call for surrender the message they would send? In his march to the sea, Sherman unleashed wrath. On his way, he destroyed everything in his path. Meanwhile, there was another battle going on. A vote to decide if slavery would be gone. The 13th Amendment was on the docket. It'd be one more achievement to put in Lincoln's pocket. He had to get it passed before the end of the war, before the southern states came back through the door. It was approved, but not unanimously. But that didn't matter. The slaves were now free. It was over. Time for the fighting to cease, with Lee and Grant at Appomattox to finally make peace. And now you're experts on the Civil War story. Now it's your turn to bask in the glory. Write your rhyme, make sure it's on time, and hopefully it's as good as mine. And now I think that I set the bar higher. I wrote a rhyme that I think you admire. I am the king, you can call me sire. I am not Vanilla Ice, call me Vanilla Fire. Yeah. Civil War time, Civil War rhyme. Can you write one that's as good as mine? You can do it, there's nothing to it. And I'm out.
Well, folks, we are celebrating Abraham Lincoln here today on Amy's Kids Show, and we are celebrating teachers who celebrate Abe Lincoln by writing rap songs and other kinds of music to teach their students about this amazing time in history. We have now actually arrived at the time when Abraham Lincoln became president in this book that I've been reading called Abraham Lincoln by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin d'Alaire. And where we left off was just as Abe Lincoln and his family were getting on the train to go off to Washington, D.C., where he was going to be the next president. All right. And this is where we're carrying on here, folks. Now, Abraham Lincoln was master of the White House, but he was president of only part of the United States. For the southern states had taken down the Star-Spangled Banner, that's our flag, and raised the flag of the Confederacy in its stead. And maybe some of you out there have seen a Confederate flag. That's what that represents. Sad and silent, Lincoln gazed through his spyglass at the Confederate flag that fluttered in the wind on the other side of the Potomac River in Virginia. He wondered how to get the Southern states back into the Union. He needed quiet to think about what to do, but from morning till night, the White House was crowded with people seeking his help. Lincoln wanted to listen to them all, but the days were too short. He grew haggard and careworn, and scarcely had time to eat and to sleep. His servants at last put up a screen across the hall so that Lincoln could pass by without being seen by all the people waiting to talk with him. But he was so tall that the top of his head showed above the screen when he tiptoed from room to room, and so it gave him away to the visitors. They'd say, "There goes the president. There he goes. He's trying to sneak by." Well, then he locked himself in his office with the men in the cabinet who were helping him with the government. No man ever loved peace more than Abraham Lincoln. But he firmly believed that his country could be great and strong only as long as all the states were united as one country. The Union must be saved. So, with a heavy heart, Lincoln called soldiers from the northern states and sent them to war against the Southerners to force them back into the Union. The Civil War had begun. At first, Lincoln's generals and the men in his cabinet all thought they were much wiser than Abraham Lincoln, who had come from the wilderness after all. Well, Lincoln just let them think so. He listened politely to their advices. But in the end, he did what he felt was best for the people. "Have you heard the story of the monkey who wanted a longer tail?" he said to his generals when they asked for ever more honor and power. "Once upon a time, there was a tribe of monkeys that was going to war," he said. "The biggest and strongest of them was made their leader. But he didn't think his tail was grand and long enough. If he was to lead them to victory, his tail must be longer," he said. And so the monkeys began to add to it with pieces of tail, but the longer they made it, the longer tail the monkey chief wanted. The tail became longer and longer. In scrolls and coils, it lay all over the floor. At last, it grew so long that it filled the room clear to the ceiling. And there sat the monkey leader, so entangled in the tail that he couldn't even move anymore. Thus, everyone would fare who wanted too much," meant President Lincoln. Well, the soldiers all loved their long, gangling president and his little son, Tad, who often rode at his side. For Mrs. Lincoln used to send Tad along with his father to make him take better care of himself. So Lincoln was a father and friend, not just to Tad, but to all the soldiers too. They could go to him with their troubles, and he was never too busy to tell a story or laugh at a joke. One day, when he was reviewing the troops, one of the generals gave him a wild horse to ride. But Abe Lincoln was an old ranger who knew how to keep in the saddle. He raced up and down the field without even losing his hat. And the soldiers cheered until they were hoarse. "We're coming, Father Abraham, 400,000 strong," they answered, from all the northern states, when Lincoln called for more soldiers. And Lincoln helped them and grieved over those that fell on the battlefields as though they were his own sons. It was in memory of those who had fallen at Gettysburg that he made his most famous speech, the Gettysburg Address.
Come on, come on, this Confederation has had enough of northern oppression. Fight for what is right, and this secession is to keep our lives. That's our motivation, and we know the terrain, know the home field, this is what we need. We have the best officers, including General Lee. We're prepared for a defensive war, gonna win the fight. Guns and horses, son, gonna win the fight. Your own country, you're part of the Union, and I won't abide this house division. We got the greater population, like 2.5 to 1. We've got the cash, our railroad's fast, admittedly, you're done. Tell me what you'll do when your supplies are through once we've blocked your ports. And your president, Jefferson Davis, I hear he comes up short. In the north, we still grow.
Abraham Lincoln is famous for saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And he tried to make friends with the southern states and offered to buy the slaves' freedom instead of using the money for war. But the South wouldn't listen to him. So on New Year's Day, in 1863, Lincoln solemnly signed a paper that made the slaves free forever. It was called the Emancipation Proclamation. The Southerners fought on, and although they had less and less to eat and had hardly any shoes to put on their feet, they continued to fight. For several years, Lincoln sought all over the North for a general who could end the war. At last, he found General Grant. Grant was straightforward and brave and did not waste his time just talking and writing. "Can you make an end to the war?" asked Lincoln. "If you give me soldiers enough, I will," said Grant. So once more Lincoln called for soldiers. And again, men came from all over the North. And even slaves who had been freed by the Emancipation Proclamation came from the South, too, to join the fight. And Grant did as he had promised. He forced the Southern soldiers out of Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy. 4 years after the Civil War had begun, the Star-Spangled Banner waved over Virginia again. The next day, President Lincoln walked into the town, holding his son Tad's hand. An old man, one of the former slaves, recognized the long, thin president with the tall stovepipe hat. "Here is our savior," he cried, and threw himself at Lincoln's feet. And suddenly, Lincoln and his son Tad were surrounded by people who were now free. And they were weeping and rejoicing as they cried, "Glory, glory, hallelujah." The Civil War had come to an end. The slaves were free. And the Union was saved. Most people in the northern states wanted to make the Southerners pay for the 4 terrible years of war. And they were very, very terrible years of war. But Lincoln said that the Southerners should be received back into the Union with malice towards none and charity to all, is what he said. He felt like the father of a great flock of children. Some had run away, but were now returning to their home. He stood on a balcony of the White House, looking out over the cheering people who cried, "Speak, Father Abraham!" Abraham Lincoln didn't answer with words, but he made the band play the song Dixie, the favorite song of the Southerners, which had not been heard in Washington since the Civil War began. And then he sat down in his rocking chair to rest. He had done what he should do. He had held together the great nation brought forth upon this continent by his forefathers.
With her head held high.
The end.
Silver slavery. Civil War was a revolution that stated all men are created equal. Now Lincoln was shot. He defended our rights that made our country see we could be a better democracy.
Well, folks, thank you for joining me today on Amy's Kids Show. We are celebrating Abe Lincoln. This is the fourth episode of Celebrating Abe Lincoln, and we did just finish the story that I was reading called Abraham Lincoln. And it was a great version of his life story, and I really like all of the parts of his life that this story brought to us, right? From Abe Lincoln being a little boy all the way to becoming president, right? I mean, what an amazing life. And I was telling a friend that I was doing these series on Abe Lincoln, and my friend said something really interesting. He said, oh yeah, Abe Lincoln, he was very sad. He was a depressed guy. And you know, I have heard that before too, but I didn't come across so much of that in this book or these other versions of his life that I've been sharing with you, these stories and these songs that take us through all the things that Abraham Lincoln went through in his life. And I'm sure hearing these stories and hearing what he went through, I bet he was sad. Yeah, I mean, a civil war is a very, very sad thing. It described in the book how he felt like his children were fighting. And how could he ever have a home of peace, of prosperity, if his children couldn't come together in freedom and unity? Well, he loved those things so much that I'm sure he was really sad a lot of the time. But I think it's also important to remember what else this book tells us about. And many other versions of his story remind us, too, how Abe Lincoln also always had time for a joke. He had time for a joke. He had time to laugh. And you know what I think? I think that's the best trait of being a human, right? And humans are what he loved most, wasn't it? People, all people should be free is what he felt. And he wanted to expand that freedom to more and more people. And as we continue expanding it to more and more people, as we go along here through the centuries, let's remember what Abe Lincoln taught us. And let's try to imagine if Abe Lincoln was alive today, what things would be different? Well, first of all, he wouldn't need to carry all those papers in his hat, would he? No, in fact, nowadays he could just have a computer, right? Or a phone even alongside of him. One of those fancy phones that has all kinds of information, can get on the internet, can look at his files, can send emails and tweets and things like that, right? He didn't know about any of that, but he loved inventions. And I bet he would love to know that all those things exist nowadays. Because imagine how much easier it is now, right? To carry around your computer or your phone instead of trying to keep all those papers in your hat so that you can remember all the stuff you have to remember. Well, if we try to imagine Abe Lincoln alive today, and what he would think of all the inventions that came, right, after his life was over. All kinds more inventions came, and a lot of them were thanks to him. Because remember, Abe Lincoln was the only president to ever have a patent for one of his own inventions, which he invented from all of his experience on the river, right? So he had all of those experiences. It led to his invention. So he understood ideas. And he understood how important it was that people could share ideas. Because if we can't share our ideas, then how is the world going to get better? And how are we going to make sure that people aren't slaves anymore, right? That we don't need people working in the fields and doing all this stuff all the time because we have machines now that can help us. What an amazing thing, right? Well, this next little piece that we're going to listen to is by Mr. Brett. And Mr. Brett is a middle school teacher. I actually play a lot of his songs on Amy's Kids Show because he writes, I think, some of the funniest songs. But they're all true, right, about these historical figures. Well, this next piece is called Abraham Lincoln Reads Mean Tweets. And what he did was he had his class imagine that if Abe Lincoln was alive today, you know, what kinds of tweets would be written about him? Now, for those of you listening out there, I don't know if you know what social media is, but social media includes things like tweets, where people can just get on and share their ideas. Well, with freedom of speech and everything, right, people are allowed to say whatever they want. And we know, because of the presidents that are running right now to be president, right? These people who are running to be president right now, there are mean things being said about them, aren't there? Well, yeah, if you're going to run for president, you've got to expect that people are not all going to like you. And did everybody like Abe Lincoln? No, for as amazing as he was, a lot of people actually did not like him. Right? So if he was alive today, what sorts of mean things would people say about him in these tweets? And that's not what I'm most interested in. What I'm most interested in is, how does Abe respond, right? Does he say, oh, stop saying those things, right? Does he stop freedom of speech? Or does he have a little bit of like a sense of humor about it? Because if we can laugh at ourselves, well, then don't worry if anyone laughs at you. You're already ahead of the game. No one's going to hurt you because if you can already laugh at yourself, then you're going to be strong enough to keep going on your path no matter what other people say. And thank goodness that's how Abe Lincoln was. Here we go. Abe Lincoln reads mean tweets.
So, I just sit right here and I swipe this magic... Oh, that's quite amazing. Does the South know about this? Welcome back, class. My name is President Abraham Lincoln, and Mr. Betts has asked me to host the channel this week. Now, I'm told that through the internet and social media like Twitter, celebrities and politicians can interact with their followers. But sometimes those followers can interact back, and I'm here to read my mean tweets. All right, I understood maybe half of what I said. Lincoln, I heard you grew up in a log cabin. When it was built, did you drop a couple of logs? 'Cause you sure smell like it. That's the level of discourse on this thing. Lincoln came into the cafe tonight, asked him what he wanted to drink. He told a 40-minute story and then had water. People like my stories. Which sad when Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter does better in theaters than the real Lincoln did. What Hunter? Lincoln should just crawl into his stupid hat and die. Hashtag the South will rise again. That's funny, I don't remember them successfully rising the first time. Kentucky Slave 63 tweets, congrats on the Emancipation Proclamation and freeing the slaves. Speaking of things you didn't really do, congrats on walking on the moon, too. Lincoln's too tall. He looks like you left the TV on the wrong aspect ratio. This is not a lot of fun. Rebel Rose Greenhow and Belle Boyd were famous spies of the Civil War. Who was the biggest mole? The one on Lincoln's cheek. Now I'm just self-conscious. Lincoln, you sure are a great prez. JK, you stink, you bearded jerk. Is Mary Todd Lincoln your wife's name or your advice to yourself? Mary Todd Lincoln. This is Lincoln in 1860. This is in 1865. The guy aged worse than Lindsay Lohan. I don't even know who she is, but I have the feeling it's a bad thing. Fun fact, Lincoln was the first Republican president, which for Republicans is the political equivalent of peaking in high school. Saw the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Just shut up already. It's Illinois. It's not that big a deal. Lincoln is such a bad leader, his mustache seceded from his face. Apparently I grew it back for this video. Marilyn Mickey writes, not sure if Lincoln is really fighting to keep this nation united and free. And I've just been arrested for sending this tweet. Lincoln, what's wrong with your face? You look like Bill Nye and a Brillo pad had a baby. And last one, it's finally a good one. I'll make sure to give Lincoln a shout out at the play tonight. Shoot out? No. Now that, it must be an autocorrect. Well, there you go. Abraham Lincoln reads mean tweets.
South Carolina seceded for our sworn as president. They fear that they'll be mistreated and upon their governments. And I'll take their slaves away. 10 more states will break away. The South bids adieu. Civil war has thrown this country in to tensions explode at Fort Sumter, north or south, and now it's all. It should be a quick fight for us. Oh, we got wolf dad will run. South may have the better generals, Robert E. Lee and Jackson.
Squeeze
them to submission with the Anaconda plan. Grand fights down Mississippi, Shiloh's massive casualties. All hands turn him blue. Civil war has thrown this country into two, baby. Battles raging in the South now, with just a few exceptions. East and North is blend discovered, brutal fight at Antietam. Shortages on food supplies the Confederacy. Suspending habeas corpus in Lincoln's dissent strategy. Disease is deadliest of all, on bases, battles, hospitals. Each tweet that it held to, civil war has thrown this country into
proclamation frees the slaves. Accepted by states, for them this law is waived.
Pickett's charge a lot third. Union wins Gettysburg.
For 7 years ago, our nation made to honor those who died, we must continue to fight.
Sherman's march into Atlanta, destroying all in his path. Armies taking Richmond, led by Ulysses S. Grant. At Appomattox Fort House, Lee surrenders for the South. Conflict's finally through, civil war had torn this country.
fought against the British. July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. This is our history, land of the brave and
we did it. We came to the end of our celebration here on Amy's Kids Show. Our celebration of one of the greatest presidents of all time, Abraham Lincoln. And wow, what an amazing man he was. I am so inspired by him. And yes, did he have some hard times? Well, he did. I mean, we did not talk much about that here on Amy's Kids Show. We didn't talk very much about all the elections that he lost. And he did lose his mother, right? He lost his first love. And he even lost his son when he was an older person, right? As a grown-up. He had a lot of losses. And then he had to lead our country through the Civil War, which was one of the hardest times ever to be a president, ever in the history of our country. But we didn't focus on all that hard stuff, did we? No, because what I want you to remember is what Abraham Lincoln remembered. His inspiration, that Declaration of Independence, that all people are created equal, And he was willing to put in the extra hard work and the extra care that it took to lead our country to become united again, right? Because he really believed that a house divided against itself cannot stand. He believed that our government could not endure being half slave and half free. All people should be free. And he expanded that to include more and more people. And he definitely agreed with me in thinking that kids are people too, right? He really cared about kids. I love the way that he had kids around him all the time. And I think that helped him remember what it means to be human. Well, what does it mean to be human? Well, of course, humans get sad and humans get discouraged. Times can be hard, right? But always, always take the time to share a joke, to share a story, to listen to your neighbors and hear what they're concerned about, right? Because when he took time to do that, that's what kept him human, and that's what got him up in the morning to keep going and do the important work that he had to do. Well, thank you, Abe Lincoln, for working so hard to keep us free and united here in the United States of America. And thank all of you out there for joining me for the celebration of Abe Lincoln. He's got me thinking. Has he got you thinking too, right? What are you thinking about? Well, I'm sure you're out there today doing something amazing that is preparing you for the future and who you're going to be and what you're going to do to share in this abundant universe. Remember, we need you out there. You're the greatest. Keep up the good work.
Fought against the British. July 4, 1776, the Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence. This is our history.